right, everybody. We are back. We are the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. We're coming to you live. This is the start of our second hour.
Woohoo!
We're coming to you live right here on RadioSt.Pete.com. We do this little thing called the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. Like I say, right here on RadioSt.Pete.com. Five years old, and we do it live.
Yeah.
We're five and we're alive.
Five and live.
Let me remind you again, I mentioned this during the first hour, that right after our show, starting at 8 o'clock, there's going to be a new music show on RadioSt.Pete.com. I don't know what it's called, but they're going to be playing nothing but oldies and Motown. It's the Oldies and Motown show. That's going to go 8 to 10. Then at 10 o'clock, something really cool is coming on, and from it's 10 to midnight, and it's going to be old-time radio.
Yes.
So if you're a fan of old-time radio, I mean, first of all, you'd have to be like 100 years old. But here's the thing. Tonight's, I guess, the first edition is going to be an old Jack Benny radio show from 1932.
Yes.
So that's going to be very cool.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
I think it's a great...
It's going to be a great addition to Radio St. Pete. All the content. That's one of the good things about Radio St. Pete. A lot of good content. A lot of good stuff to listen to.
So yes. I can remember, a lot of great contributors.
Yeah, when we first signed on with Joe B. and Radio St. Pete, there wasn't that much going on. But now, all of a sudden, I mean, I don't think there's a slot vacant.
There's
always something going on here.
Well, there's still some... slots available.
Well, let's do 4 hours.
Oh, my God.
No. Oh, no.
Jeez.
Nobody wants to hear this for 4 hours. Are you kidding me?
I need a death metal show.
Yeah, let's do a death metal show.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the music that I've played so far this evening, that song that we came out of the break with was Somebody's Gotta Go, and that's Tab Benoit. One of my favorites. I love Tab Benoit.
I do too.
Very good. Before that was Ain't Messing Around, and that was Tom Petty, another one of my all-time favorites. Miss You, Tom.
Miss You, Tom.
And then I started off the show with Ain't Messing Around, and that was by Gary Clark Jr. Gary Clark Jr.
What?
Say that again, because
the very first song, Ain't Messing Around.
So what was the Tom Petty song?
I Need to Know.
Okay.
Oh, did I screw it up?
Yes, you did.
You did.
Mm-hmm.
Confusing us all.
Well, I'm glad you guys are here to slap me around a little bit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. With pleasure.
Right. So before the break, I said that there was a story about Mount Everest that sort of pissed me off. Now you know.
It's covered in dead bodies.
Well,
no.
Not only that, Ty, but you're going to find out. You know, here on the show, we've been talking about a lot lately that in our oceans, there are state-sized islands of trash floating around, like between California and Hawaii. There's like a New York sized island of plastic trash floating, and it's getting worse. I saw an article about the amount of trash that they have in India.
And I can't even imagine. Yeah, what India must be like.
What are they doing with all that trash? China, I guess most countries used to have a deal with China that China would take their plastic. I don't know what they were doing with it, recycling it or what, but now they decided they don't want it anymore.
They have enough.
What's going to happen with all this plastic? Right?
I have no idea.
What's going to happen with all the trash anyway? You know, I mean, you can only put this stuff in the ground for so long, right? I mean, it does break down. A lot of trash breaks down, but there are a lot of things that we use as consumers in our daily life that don't go anywhere.
Right.
Forever.
Well, and that's part of what the problem is. Mm-hmm. Since plastic has become such a big part of our lives,
right.
You can't burn it, you know. I mean, back in the old days.
Can you imagine if they burned all that plastic with the toxic gas that would be in the air?
Right.
We'd all suffocate. We'd all choke to death.
But out on the farm, they would have a burn barrel. So they would burn whatever, you know, burnable trash. I don't know what they did with the rest of it. But, you know, they didn't have disposable diapers and, you know.
Well, excuse me. So I started off saying that we were going to talk about Mount Everest. And here's the thing. Hannah Claire, do you know where Mount Everest is?
Yeah.
Where?
Somewhere.
Ty, do you have any idea?
Is it in Nepal?
Yes, it's in Nepal. Do you guys know that Mount Everest is one of the tallest peaks in the world?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you have any idea how tall it is?
Very.
29,029 feet. 29,029 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's very tall. Let's see. The first to successfully reach the summit were Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay back in 1953.
You're
right.
Gay.
No, you're gay. All right, now this will make you mad. Over the past 65 years, Mount Everest has been transformed from one of the world's most pristine environments to a vertical garbage dump littered with discarded tents, climbing equipment, empty oxygen canisters, and human waste.
And, well, dead bodies.
The last 65 years that's been going on. Now, so to get an idea how much trash that is, all right, over the last 65 years, 4,000 people have scaled Mount Everest to the top. 600 this year alone. Every single one of them leaving trash.
Yeah.
Tons of trash.
Tons of trash.
I mean, not just like a little pile here and there. Tons of trash.
Like all of the equipment.
Right. Now, part of what's happening now with global warming, for years, a lot of this trash has been frozen over so you couldn't see it. But now that all of that stuff is now becoming visible, so now it's like it's a mountain of trash.
Yeah.
How sad is that?
Yeah. It surprises me because it always seemed to me like the people who would climb Mount Everest.
Yeah, they're like.
Would be like.
They're granola eaters.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? They're not
environmental tree hugger.
Yeah, it's mostly douchewads.
If you got a crap on the mountain, you got a crap on the mountain.
Yeah, but that's biodegradable. That's
right. But
you know,
they're talking about human waste here. And wait till I tell you how much there is.
Well, dead bodies.
Well. Yeah. You think there's a bunch of dead bodies?
There are. People who don't make it.
They leave you up there because they can't bring you back down.
Oh. Yeah, it's too dangerous to come find you.
Mm. Well, that's not cool.
Yeah.
Mm. That's what they mean by human waste. They are humans wasted.
Anyway, the people of Nepal, all right, the people of Nepal are so over it, so now they've come up with something, a solution that I love it. It's a fantastic idea, I think. But as I read farther into the article...
They just put a big no white people sign on the mountain.
Yeah.
Damn it!
No. They didn't do that, Ty. What they did is... if you want to climb the mountain now, you and your climbing team have to pay a $4,000 deposit, right? Before you climb. The only way to get your deposit back is every climber in your party has to come back with at least 18 pounds of trash.
Oh.
18 pounds. Or you don't get your $4,000 back.
Wow.
Cool.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the way to do it.
Now, the 18 pounds of trash, does that include the stuff they take with them? Or 18 additional
yeah,
pounds.
You can't exchange it.
You know, like, I'm going to leave my tent and take this one because it's all
like
torn up
to,
and
yeah,
it'll
like
be
to
lighter
it,
to carry.
It's got to be, yeah, it's got to be extra, an extra 18 pounds. They must weigh you. You know, let's get on this scale. We're going to weigh you and all your gear. When you come back, you better have at least that plus 18 pounds.
Well, you're gonna have
some of those bodies down.
You're gonna have more than that. You've seen Naked and Afraid. How much weight do you lose climbing Mount Everest?
Yeah, probably a lot.
Mm-hmm. You know, so that 18, if they do it your way, they're probably bringing home or bringing down 30 pounds
right.
worth of trash, which is good.
Well,
I mean, more the better.
Listen to this. Climbers on Everest last year carried 28 tons of garbage and 17 tons of human waste off the mountain.
That's a lot of dead bodies.
That's a lot. And it says, unfortunately, researchers say this is only a fraction of the trash dumped on Everest each year.
Ugh.
So right there, 28 tons and 17 tons. What's that, 45 tons? How much is that?
45
tons is just a fraction.
Ugh.
Of the amount.
Well, is it even fun to climb now?
Oh, here they said that the 28,000 tons and the 17 tons are equivalent of a 3 double-decker buses. That's how much trash it was. Trash and...
Well, I mean, now it seems like if you were to climb Mount Everest, you may as well just go over to the dump and climb the pile.
Right. Well, I think it's interesting what you were saying, though, is that, when I think of mountain climbers, I don't think of people that are going out there to litter and stuff.
You would
like
think
that
they would be very conscious of bringing everything back.
I mean, what's the purpose
not
of climbing?
Littering.
Is the purpose of climbing Mount Everest just to say that you could do it?
Yeah.
Or is it to go and enjoy the beauty?
It's all the Wolf of Wall Street dudes that need to walk on something.
Well, there's a lot more people climbing this thing than I thought.
Yeah, there's a ton.
600 just this year alone. I mean, we're halfway through.
Right.
So if we're 600 now, so about 1,200 a year, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of people and a lot of trash.
A ton of trash. Mm-hmm. That's just, it just boggles my mind because, again, I didn't think the people that climbed Mount Everest would leave anything behind.
Yeah, you would think.
Wasteful, trash.
They'd all be environmentalists.
Yeah. Conscious, environmentally conscious.
Well, they're not. They're just a bunch of jerks with ropes.
Leaving a bunch of crap behind. Mm-hmm. Literally.
Yep. Now, one of the things that I think we mentioned this before, downtown St. Petersburg is starting a new thing where they're trying to ban all plastic straws.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I think is a great
Our
idea.
Our restaurant started that.
Did they?
Yep.
Now, some of the restaurants are, there's kind of like a thing where a lot of people in charge of like this movement want to make it mandatory that there are absolutely no more plastic straws, right? So like a bar owner or a restaurant owner, they can't have it at all. What the bar owners and restaurant owners would like to do is have it voluntary.
Right, yes. Which is what they've already done.
Right. So, yeah, right now it is voluntary. This one bar owner, his name is Pete Boland, he owns the Galley Bar or Restaurant down in St. Petersburg. And he says that, look, if you come into my place and you get a drink, we're not going to give you a straw. If you ask for one, we're going to give you a paper straw. And if that turns you off, then we will give you a plastic one. But they say that by cutting down... What they've done so far is...
By not offering, not putting it on the table automatically.
Automatically giving you a plastic straw, they've reduced their output by about 700 straws a week, which adds up to about, 36,000 single-use plastic straws that haven't been thrown away.
Right.
Which is great. But all I ask of these restaurants is, if you're going to be starting to ban straws, let's make sure these cups are extra clean.
See, that's
because
what I said.
Because some people are super weird about that. They don't know the cleanliness of that cup.
I was listening to a show
the
other day.
They don't want
to
put their lips on
Somebody
it.
Somebody said that, but guess what? Do you put the silverware in your mouth?
Some people are weird about that, too. Some people go to restaurants and ask for plastic silverware because they don't trust it. They don't trust how it's been cleaned.
Do they have it served on a paper plate as well?
Maybe. Who knows? But
yeah, I don't blame them.
But,
I've seen the dishwashers.
Exactly. We've all been in the back of a restaurant. We know what goes on. Let's have a ensure final desanitation of all the cups before they go out if we're banning all the straws. Right.
Well,
that's all I ask.
How many times have you gone out to breakfast and drank your cup of coffee with a straw?
Right, yeah.
Is it because it's a hot beverage that mentally you think, oh, well, it's hot enough that it'll kill any germs that the person who drank out of this cup before me? I mean, you would never think of drinking your morning coffee.
Paper cups with a plastic lid for your coffee. You know what I mean?
Well, that's another option. Just make all cups with a different, like a sippy cup lid.
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden you're going to have all those
sippy cup lids.
But at least they're not jamming up turtles' noses.
Okay? Yeah, well.
That's the problem with the straws.
I think we need to go back to like when we were kids and we all just drank out of the hose.
Yeah.
If you want to drink at a restaurant, you just go up to the hose.
Well, and I don't build up your immunity. Tap water,
Yeah.
I mean, we've become so germ phobic that we're
plastic or not plastic straws, glass straws. We sell glass straws at the asylum.
Right.
They could just give you a can.
I saw somewhere that
people won't drink out of cans. A lot of people.
This one journalist was saying that she went online they have metal straws, glass straws, and then some sort of like a synthetic straw. Oh, and they also have bamboo straws.
Yeah.
Bring your own straw.
Right. She said
because straws, you don't want to reuse somebody else's straw.
She said she ordered a bunch of straws.
You think the cup is dirty.
Yeah.
She ordered a bunch of straws, went and got her favorite drink from her favorite place, told the girl, I don't need a straw, I have my own, was walking through the park, drank her drink, and threw away her cup with her brand new straw. Didn't realize until she got home and was like, oh, shit, I threw my straw.
Damn it.
Went back to the park and dug through the trash and got her.
Ew. No.
You
can't
die. You buy another one.
That's
gross.
Straws are germ factories.
Not unless you get the proper brush. I have a glass straw with a perfect little bottle brush thing. Gets it done.
We're not talking about all your paraphernalia.
No. It's not paraphernalia. It's a straw.
Mm-hmm. Just drink beer.
Yeah, right. And if you drink it with a straw, you get a really quick buzz.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a tip of the week for you.
Oh, tip of the week.
So it is summertime, and a lot of people are going to be going on vacation. And a lot of people, when they go on vacation, they go to the ocean, right? They go to the beach.
Don't.
Some sort of water.
We don't want you.
Right. So if, besides sharks, what's also scary about being in the ocean or Gulf, besides drowning?
Everything.
Tourists.
What about jellyfish?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tygan,
man of war.
Let's picture this scene. Tygan,
eels.
You and I were at the beach. You get stung by a jellyfish.
You'd go in the water.
You'd probably want me to pee on you, right?
No.
Because heard that's the way to take care of it.
No.
I'll ride it out.
I'll pee on myself, you.
I'd consider peeing on you if you're writhing
and pain. Sure you would.
On the beach. But that's not what you really should do. What do you suppose you should do instead of peeing on somebody? What should you do? What should be the first step? Your friend just
get out of the water.
Your friend just got
stung. First step, get out of the water. I mean, come on.
Well, what you're supposed to do really is you're supposed to sort of rinse it with the salt water, not fresh water. They say that fresh water can trigger the release of venom from the barbs embedded in your skin. So they say that the salt water, because they're used to
salt
water. Right. You don't want to shock their system with fresh water. Then after you do that, then you douse it with vinegar. And the vinegar, what it does is neutralizes
the
barbs.
Pee on it.
You pee on it. No. Anyway, then after you do the salt water, the vinegar, then you apply heat as hot as you can stand it for up to 20 minutes or until the pain goes away.
Pee on it.
And at what point are you going to the emergency room?
It says that most jellyfish stings do not require emergency assistance, it might cause a little nausea, a headache, vomiting, or it could make it hard to walk. But otherwise,
sounds like every pharmaceutical they advertise on TV. Go through that list again.
Well, yeah, right. I'll have to read it real fast so I can get all of them in 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Nausea, headaches, vomiting, trouble walking, suicide,
death,
anal seepage,
and diarrhea.
Right. Especially diarrhea,
hairy knuckles,
constipation, and diarrhea.
Yes,
I want to take the pill that causes hairy knuckles.
No, that's the jellyfish.
Hairy toe knuckles, even better. Yeah.
Anyway, you were saying that it does not require emergency services.
No, it doesn't. So here's my tip. The tip of the week.
Stay out of the water.
If you're going to go to the beach, only go in the water long enough to pee and then get the hell out. God only knows what's swimming around out there.
Oh, man.
That's my tip of the week.
Tip of the week.
Right, here's another thing. And this is about vacations.
Vacation.
The hell is that?
And something else that's going to piss you off, I'm telling you. It says American workers forfeited a total of 212 million vacation days in 2017, equivalent to $62.2 billion in lost benefits.
Yeah.
You know, look, if you've worked someplace where you've earned those vacation days, take them. Look, there's a lot of employees that try to make you feel guilty about taking your days, but take them. You've earned them.
Yes.
Don't give them back because most employees don't let you roll it over.
No.
And if you can't roll it over, you're just giving those days away.
Yeah. You're giving money away, basically. Well,
I have heard about some employers, though, that let you build it up and build it up and build it up. And then after 10 years, you can just take your whole last year off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to retire in 2017, but I'm not coming to work. Or no, wait. How would that work? I'm going to retire
in 2020.
In 2020, but I'm going to stop working in 2019.
If you have a year's worth of vacation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Vacation.
Anyway, it says the average American employee donated $561 back to his or her employer by not using a lot of vacation time. I guess that's
yeah.
$62.2 billion in lost benefits.
Well, and the corporations love it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, and you got to ignore those people at work that try to give you the stink eye every time you put in your leave request or, you know, something like that. It's like, you know.
Tisk, tisk you.
Well, again.
Good one, Ty.
Yeah.
Again.
Right.
Yes.
No, I have to figure out, you know, because it's already July.
Right.
I have to use all of mine before Thanksgiving.
How many weeks do you get now?
Three.
So we both get 3 weeks.
Just take off, like, you know, this whole set of shows coming up.
Well, I'm going to have to.
Yeah.
Because I can't physically be in two places at once.
Right.
I don't know about the rest of you, but
haven't mastered that yet.
No, and see, Dad gets off early enough that you probably won't have to use any of yours, but I don't.
Probably will anyway.
Probably will anyway.
Better safe than sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm you know
called out.
Yeah.
Again.
I'm looking at the calendar going, oh no, I need to figure this out.
Right. Hey, you know, this doesn't have anything to do with vacation or anything like that. You know what Mom and I watched last night on TV? A real thriller. The Blob.
The Blob. Well, we didn't watch the whole thing.
No, we watched the first half hour.
How ridiculous
is that movie? Have you ever seen it?
I've seen parts of it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's great. It's sci-fi.
Steve McQueen. Was he like...
he was born looking 50 years old.
He may have been a robot,
because
I'd never seen him look any different in any movie. He always looked like the same guy.
Same guy. He didn't age a bit, because even in this movie... And I think they said he was...
This was like his first starring role.
Right.
Yeah.
So he was, what, barely 20, if?
Yeah.
He looks exactly the same.
The acting in that movie was horrible.
It is horrible. It's
an old B sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
It's The Blob, honey. What did you expect?
It's like Plan 9 from outer space.
I like that, you know, it's like the blob. You can see the blob, you know, jiggling. And then you see the person screaming. Then they cut away from the person. And then the next thing you know...
The blob is bigger.
The blob is bigger.
It's bigger.
It's bigger. Right. It's a bigger blob. Anyway, great movie. The Blob.
The Blob. I love that movie. Mm-hmm. I think it's fun.
It is fun.
You're not fun.
No, I'm not. Not fun. Mm-hmm. Let's see. What do we have now? Do we want to play Stump the Chump?
We can.
Is it too early to play Stump the Chump?
No.
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll need to take a break.
Yeah, we'll take a quick break. Yeah, I think we're pretty much right on
target.
All right, everybody. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll play Stump the Chump. Honey, do we have theme for Stump the Chump?
We do. And I will start Stump the Chump.
Yes.
With the first guess of what is the theme this evening.
4th of July?
No, but I have that one. Oh. We didn't do Stump the Chump last week. On July 6th, 1994, what movie came out in theaters that we all know and love?
Star Wars?
No.
What?
1994? 1994. July 6th, 1994.
Pulp Fiction. No. Dark? No. Oh, Forrest Gump.
Yes.
All right.
So we are having Forrest Gump trivia.
Jenny.
Okay.
Vacation. All right, everybody. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to play our Forrest Gump-themed version of Stump the Chump. We're the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. We come to you live every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. right here on RadioSt.Pete.com. When we come back, hey, why don't you try to give us a call? 727-498-0502. See you.
Dedicate one to the ladies. Sometimes a babe needs something to keep you cool. Sometimes a babe needs something to keep you cool. Better look out now, though. Dave's got something for you. Tell you what it is. I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. Oh, my, I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy. Hold on a second, baby. I gotta put my banana Dixie cups. All flavors and push-ups, too. I'm your ice cream man, baby. Stop me when I'm passing by. See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy. Hold on one more. Well, I'm usually passing by just about 11 o'clock. I never stop. I'm usually passing by just around 11 o'clock. And if you let me cool you one time, you'll be my regular stop. All right, boys. I'm gonna put my banana Dixie cups. Oh, flavors and pleasure to have your ice cream, man. Stop me when I'm passing by. See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy. Yes. I'm your ice cream, man. Stop me when I'm passing by. I'm your ice cream, man. Stop me when I'm passing by. This is all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
All right, everybody, we are back, and that is the Ice Cream Man by the real Van Halen, not that other version, Van, what's his name, Hagar. This is the real Van Halen.
Off-brand.
Yeah.
With David Lee Roth. Love that. Mm-hmm. I remember I saw Van Halen in concert I was probably about 17 years old, something like that. Actually, I was like 16 years old. I had just learned how to drive, and I was driving a Volkswagen Beetle. And I was going to drive me and my buddy Paul to the Richmond Coliseum. Well, the route that we took was all uphill. and I was not the best with the clutch. So when I was at the bottom of the hill, when that light turned green, I decided that I am not going to stop at any of these lights.
Because
we went, and we were making it green, and then it started getting yellow and yellow, and then they started being a little bit more pink toward the top of the hill. But we made it. We made it all right. One of the loudest concerts I've ever seen in my life. Van Halen, back in, that was probably 1980 or 81.
No.
Probably 81. 81.
81.
1981.
You graduated 82. In 82.
Right, so I was like 17.
Okay.
No, I was like 16. Yeah, because I just learned, started driving.
Anyway. So it was louder than Deceptive Intruder?
Much, yeah.
For now.
Deceptive Intruder are sissies compared to real Van Halen. Uh-huh. I mean, this is what you get, Deceptive Intruder. Quiet as a mouse. Mm. See some of this tomorrow night, everybody, over at the Brass Mug in Tampa.
You really need some of the new recordings.
I like this one.
We have this song.
Yeah, but we're fond of this one.
I like this one. Homeless and hungry, everybody.
We like the singer in that one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the singer in this one is like, it seems like we met him before. Anyway, are we going to play Stump the Chump?
Yes.
Let's do it. Does everybody have their bell, their ringer, their hooter?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Oh, Tilly's.
Somebody being attacked?
Yeah, no. She's upside down cookieing herself.
All right. Gotcha.
You know, because she does that.
She's got the leprosy.
She's got the leprosy.
Yeah, something. You
got to rub it all over the couch.
They call that a hot spot time.
Yeah.
It's a hot spot.
Mm-hmm. Leprosy.
Mm-hmm. What are we ready?
Yes.
What is the first word that Forrest says in the movie? Is it? Do you know?
Hi, my name's Forrest Gump.
You're so close. He's a little more proper.
Mama told me not to talk to strangers.
No, you were closer.
Hello.
Hello. My name is Forrest Gump.
I love that movie.
I do too. Okay, so Ty is on the board with...
Hello.
I'm Forrest Gump. When young Forrest meets Elvis Presley, Elvis plays the guitar for him. Forrest later passes a TV store, and the TV shows Mark
Elvis dancing on TV the way that Forrest did in his room.
Yes.
To what song? Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog. Point.
No.
And he died because he must have sang too many songs.
Yes. He must have sang too many songs.
On the bus. Mm-hmm. On the bus to school.
He's on the bus a lot. What happened?
on the bus to school.
Can't sit here.
On the first day, Forrest meets Jenny.
She's taken.
What's the first question she asks him? Hannah.
Well, are you going to sit down or what?
Oh, she didn't go, are you dumb or something?
Are you just plain stupid?
She said, well, are you going to sit down or aren't you?
Well, aren't.
So we'll give that to Hannah.
All right.
Good job. When Jenny's physically abusive father comes looking for her, Jenny makes a prayer to God to make her into a bird
so she can fly far away. Yeah.
Instead of her turning into a bird, what happens?
She turned into a cokehead.
She does.
The state came and got Jenny and took her to her grandma's house with that mean old dog.
Jenny is taken to live with her grandmother. And Hannah has two. Mark has one. Ty has one. We've only seen this movie once or twice.
Just once.
Forrest is discovered by the Alabama Crimson Tide football team of the University of Alabama.
Run, Forrest.
Yes. The coach sees Forrest run down the field being chased by bullies.
Who the hell is that?
Who is the coach?
Paul Bear Bryant.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Good job.
No clue.
Daz has two.
He's a running fool.
Forrest answers the drill sergeant's question of, what's your sole purpose in this army?
To do exactly what you asked, drill sergeant.
To do whatever you tell me, drill sergeant. The sergeant tells Forrest that his answer was genius and he must have an IQ of what?
Oh, no. You're a goddamn genius, Colin. You must have an IQ of 80?
No.
90? I don't know.
Is it
400?
240, 1,343, or 160? Tie.
160.
Yes. Oh. You must have an IQ of 160.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, now I've lost track of the score. I think we're tied at 2-2.
I think you got 3.
I thought Hannah had 3.
No, 2-2.
Hold on.
I'm pretty good at Forrest Gump stuff, so I'm pretty sure
Hannah,
I got
2-2.
Hannah. Nope. 2-2.
I heard that was 3 Hannahs.
Well, I was looking at the same page. Ty, Hannah, Mark, Ty. Does Mark only have one?
Yes.
No, two. Mark.
Two all. Two all the way.
Yes, all around.
All right.
Where are Bubba and Forrest sent?
Vietnam.
Hannah has 3.
I got the big old fat rain.
Yeah.
They got the rain that goes sideways, the rain that comes up.
No, that's all the shrimp, honey. Oh. Bubba is killed in action. What are his last words to Forrest, Ty?
Hey, Forrest.
No. I want to go home.
And with I want to go home, Hannah wins.
Well, congratulations, Hannah.
That was fun.
We're obviously seen that movie way too many times.
Oh, I was just thinking.
You got shot.
You got shot, Bubba.
I want to go home. If I knew that was the last thing I'd be able to say to him.
Mm-hmm. We need to watch that movie.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
It's a good movie. All right, now this is something that's going to be very cool.
We've got the soundtrack sitting right here on the desk.
Well, something very cool Sunday night. If you kids used to go to like Boom Boom Huck Jam and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you know who Travis Pastrana is, right?
Travis Pastrani.
Right. You guys have heard of Evel Knievel, correct?
Yes.
No.
Evel Knievel was back in my day and he was the daredevil of the day. I mean, he was like the only one back then. He was the only one crazy enough to do all these long distance jumps on a motorcycle, that kind of thing.
Yeah, Caesar's Palace.
Well, right. Well, Sunday, Travis Pastrana is not going to do one jump, not going to do two jumps. He's going to do 3 jumps.
Holy
coverage starts
shoot.
At 8 o'clock on Sunday on the History Channel. The first jump, he's going to jump 52 cars in the parking lot behind Planet Hollywood.
52 cars.
52 cars, all right?
52 cars.
Then he's going to jump over 16 11-foot-tall buses, 16? Which would...
Well, maybe. He might not make it after the 52 cars. Well,
yeah, right.
Well, here's the thing. I was thinking, how are they going to do this? Are they just going to have one jump, you know, lined up right after the next one? But
they're all in a row.
Well, they obviously pre-recorded this because we know he's still alive, for one thing.
It hasn't happened yet.
He's going to jump the cars in Vegas, right? Then the buses in Ohio.
Well, is it all airing on the same night?
All airing on the same night. And then the last one is going to be the 140-foot jump over the fountains at the Caesar's Palace that Evel attempted and failed in 1965.
Well, if they already did he make it?
Well,
why didn't they show that live?
Well, I don't know. So I guess maybe that
I'm
one.
I'm so confused.
Well, I am too. And I was all, you know, excited about this until they said that, the first jump, 52 cars in the parking lot behind Planet Hollywood. Then this other jump, the 16 buses in Ohio.
Are
the buses from Ohio?
I don't know.
I don't know. Somebody Google it.
Well, I was. I did Google it.
Like, you gotta watch that live in case he doesn't make it.
Right.
And what I found when I Googled it, it made it sound like it was a live event from 8 to 11. To 11.
Right.
And that he was going to be doing all three jumps.
Well, that's what this said. But then, yeah.
So I would be really upset if I had booked our tickets to Vegas.
Right.
To see all three of them live. Is he doing any of them live?
I don't know.
Because they say it's live.
They say it's live. I don't know. You can't trust anything.
What? Fake news.
Fake news.
But I'm still watching.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, I don't know. The best part of all of that is, I mean, the crashes are pretty cool.
Yeah, watching them fall.
I mean, Evel Knievel especially, the Caesar's Palace when he looked like a bag of broken glass.
And like, he was a bag of broken glass.
Yeah. Broke just about everything. That was 1965 when he did that.
1965?
Yeah, that's hard. No, it had to be later than that, but that's what, see, you can't trust anything. That's what I wrote down is 1965, the Caesar's Palace thing. But I know that I was watching it when it happened.
Right.
And I would have been one.
Yeah.
Maybe it was 75.
Maybe it was 75.
It was probably 75.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All the medical technology in 1975.
It's like we're getting fake news, and then we're screwing with it and making it faker news.
Faker news.
Faker news.
And eventually...
Don't believe anything you hear on this show.
No, mm-hmm. Not ever.
Nothing. But here's some good news.
Good news.
Deaths now outnumber births among white people.
Oh, good.
In 26 states.
Cool.
That's up from 17 states just 2 years ago.
It's because, you know, we like to jump motorcycles over buses.
The white population of the country actually declined slightly last year. Unfortunately, still have a long way to go before whites are considered a minority. Unfortunately, I say.
Oh.
Why do I say that?
Why?
Because just about every asshole I've ever met in my life, white.
White.
All of them.
All of them.
Mm-hmm.
I never met a honky I liked.
Does Florida make the list yet?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh.
Here's some more good news. Fewer Americans are lighting up than ever before. About 14% of us... no. that's U.S.
U.S.
Good job, dumbass.
About 14% of us.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Right. About 14% of U.S. adults said they were smokers last year, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That's still about 30 million people, but it's down from 16% in 2016 and roughly 20% in 2006.
Well, they're all vaping now, and they seem to think that doesn't count.
That's part of the thing. What the article was saying is that what's scary is that the number of kids that are smoking is down. Just 8% of high school students are smoking, and 2% of middle school students are smoking. But those kids now are vaping instead, which has not... They haven't really come out to say exactly what that vaping is going to do to you, but they do say that it's not good for you.
It causes what they call popcorn lung.
Popcorn lung, everybody.
Gross.
That is gross.
Every one of the high school kids at work is a vapor.
Yeah, I don't get it. And you know what? I don't like it. You know why I don't like it? Because here's the thing. First of all,
it's gay.
Well, it's like they're in some kind of competition. They got to come out with the biggest cloud.
Yes. Right?
Yeah.
So
and they're all hyped up about all their mods.
Yeah.
And that's why they explode.
But yeah, they explode. They're dangerous. But here's the thing: all of a sudden you'll be walking somewhere and there'll be like this big
haze,
banana smell or something like that.
Yeah, big haze of banana.
And to me, I get the same thought as like. If I just went into the bathroom behind somebody and they sprayed some rose stuff.
Chitrous.
It's just trying to...
It's called chitrous.
Trying to chitrous. Fancy up a turd or something, you know? It's gross.
It's just breath and coconuts.
I was actually behind a car that I thought their car was overheating.
Oh.
But they were vaping.
Yeah.
With the window open.
I've been stuck behind somebody who was vaping in the car, but all their windows were closed, and they didn't realize the light turned because their car was so damn smoky.
Was that Cheech and Chong?
Up in smoke.
Up in smoke.
And it wasn't my car. It wasn't me.
Right.
I swear.
Was not you. Okay, so here's another story. Steph, you and I were not helicopter parents. Our kids were and are, you know, practically feral.
You guys are humans, helicopters.
Jesus. Excuse me? I think I may have qualified a little bit.
You think?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think. I read this article that said, if you are a helicopter parent, you need to ease up and give your kids some space.
I'm trying.
What do you suppose helicopter parent means? It says, a parent who takes an overprotective or excessive interest in the life of their child or children. Now, I don't see anything wrong with that. But the article goes and gives sort of examples like, okay, let's say you're going to give your kid a toy, all right? You're gonna give them the toy, then you're going to tell them how to play with it. You're not going to give them that toy and let them do whatever they want, right? Right.
Okay, well, so I'm not that
able,
bad.
They're not able to use their imaginations.
I remember, though, there were parents, and this blew my mind, mm-hmm. that would, you know, birthday parties. The kids would get a Lego set
right.
that was, you know, the Millennium Falcon. Not that one, but smaller.
Right.
And the parents would insist that they only built it that way, and once it was finished, they weren't allowed to touch it.
Right.
That's a problem.
That's not how Legos work.
That's not how Legos work.
Well, I think about when I was a kid, I was really into G.I. Joes. But did I always play war with them? No. I used my imagination, and I set up little porn studios. No.
Sure you did, weirdo.
No, but you know,
with the neighbor girls' Barbies,
you could go. You could go to the gumball machines and get those little plastic football helmets. So I would have football helmets on all of my G.I. Joes, and I would have them playing football, so it looked like an all-star game.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I was. You have to let your kids use their imagination.
Absolutely.
And if you don't do that, what's going to happen is by like the age of five, they're not going to be...
They're going to be a hipster.
Well, they're not going to be emotionally set to deal with any sort of variation.
That's what I said, yeah.
Yeah.
So basically what experts are saying is that, you know, if you have kids, yeah, let them play. Let them do all kinds of stuff, but don't be up their ass about it.
Right.
Let them use their imaginations.
Exactly. Yeah. And let them make mistakes.
Let them get dirty. Let them know that it's okay.
You know, eat some mud pies.
Stop managing them, you know, all the time.
Every second.
Let them play independently.
Right.
So.
But Ty's thing with the Legos is he would make us build them correctly.
Right.
And you'd hand it to him and he would proceed to take it apart and modify it.
Yeah.
And it was like, I just spent 2 hours that damn thing together.
What was the year he got all those goddamn Transformer things?
The Bionicles.
Oh, my God. I spent the whole...
I loved those.
He got like 20 of them. I spent the whole Christmas day building those damn things.
And then you turned around.
They're not
around.
Hard to build.
I've never liked you.
And then you turned around and they were all interchanged.
You have to see something completed before you can take it apart.
I guess. Well, then look at the box. Look at the picture on the box.
Oh, funny, funny. We actually have about 5 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, well, let me do these quotes then real quick. Don't cling to a mistake just because you spent a long time making it. And that came from unknown. It came from your mother, kids.
Apparently, yeah. She's dying.
Yeah.
That wasn't supposed to go viral.
No, that was Dad building the Bionicles. Right.
The next one says, if people really knew what others said about them, there wouldn't be 4 friends left in the world. And that came from mathematician Blaise Pascal.
Well, he
well his
know.
Name is Blaise.
I like that name, Blaise.
That's a cool guy.
Yeah. The next one says, the hardest years in life are those between 10 and 70. That came from actress Helen Hayes.
Blaise Hayes.
Blaise Hayes. The next one says, if the world were perfect, it wouldn't be.
You're right. You can't make people happy.
Yogi Berra.
Mm-hmm. Yogi Berra said
Yogi Berra. Mm-hmm.
Then the next one says, it's better to prepare children than to repair children.
Yes.
Former Macy's chairman, Jim Zimmerman.
I like that one. Say that one again.
It's better to prepare children than to repair them.
Mm-hmm.
Then the last one says...
So cook them when they're broken.
Yeah. The last one says, even in the darkest of times, we have the right to expect some illumination.
Yes.
And that came from Hannah Arendt. Hannah Arendt.
Arendt what?
Hannah Arendt saying
aren't,
that.
Aren't right about that. No. Okay, so...
Illuminate the world.
Right. Yeah.
Awesome.
What else do we want to say? Anything?
Light that shit on fire.
Well, Brass Mug...
Brass mug
tomorrow night.
Follow Deceptive Intruder.
Follow Deceptive Intruder any way you can. I don't know how you can.
Google
Facebook,
it.
Facebook, Google them.
What? Reverb Nation.
Reverb Nation.
YouTube. Okay. We got a YouTube channel now.
Yep. That sucks.
It's going to be a big show tomorrow night at the Brass Mug in Tampa. And then several more shows during the month of August.
The rest of July and August.
Don't forget about tuning in September. Right after this show.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For the Oldies and Motown show. And then right after that, starting at 10 o'clock to midnight, is going to be the old time radio show.
Yes.
Which is going to be really cool. Jack Benny show from 1932. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I like it.
What else?
I hope that's in the archives because I don't usually make it till 10, especially on Fridays. But I do want to hear that. I'm curious. You know, I've never heard anything like that.
Yeah, well, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, back in the day, you know, radio was big. You know, people didn't have televisions. Instead of the whole family crowding around a TV, they all sat around a radio.
Right.
You know.
And used their imagination.
And used their imagination.
God, the blasphemy of it all.
They probably never even heard of helicopter parents back then.
No, there were no helicopter parents.
All kids were feral.
They were all feral. Drank from the hose, ate dirt, got dirty.
Okay. Hannah Claire, here at the end, do you have anything you want to add?
Nope.
Okay. Stephanie?
See you at the Brass Mug.
See you at the Brass Mug. Ty?
Yeah, that.
Yeah, I'll give that a shout out too. See you tomorrow night at the Brass Mug for a little Deceptive Intruder. Other than that, I don't have anything but Semper Fi, Devil Dogs, and I Miss You, Mom.
Everyone love everyone.
All for one and one for all.
Balls to the wall or not at all.
All right, everybody. We're the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. We come to you every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. right here on RadioSaintPete.com. We truly enjoy speaking to you every Friday night, and we look forward to speaking to you again next Friday. Stay tuned for some oldies in Motown. Good night, everybody.
Well, sometimes I go out Bosnia and I look across the water and I think of all the things what you're doing, and in my head I paint a picture. Well, since I come home, well, my body's been a mess and I miss your gentle hair and the way you like to dress. Won't you come on over? Stop making a fool out of me. Why don't you come on over, Valerie? Valerie. 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 Did you have to go to jail? But your house on up for sale. Did you get a good lawyer? Hope you didn't catch a thing. I hope you find the right man who'll fix it for you. And now you're shopping anywhere. Change the color of your hair. And are you busy? And did you have to pay that fine? That you were dodging all the time. Are you still dizzy? Since I come home, well, my body's been a mess, and I miss your ginger hair and the way you like to dress. I want you to come on over and stop making a fool out of me. Hey. to come over and me. Sometimes I go out by myself and I look across the water and I think about all the things what you're doing, and in my head I paint a picture. Since I come home, well, my body's been a mess, and I miss your tender hair and the way you light the day. Won't you come on over and stop making a fool out of me? Why don't you come on over back to me?
That's it.